So very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 1st July 2021, yeah. And it's Thursday. Okay, just relax body and mind and maintain some form of stable posture and attentiveness. So we were as usual off the light and you can have your half an hour of meditation, awareness based meditation. So make full use of this half an hour to silence your mind, maintain awareness. Just relax, body and mind entirely relax. Be at ease, don't think, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax and allow mind to be. Whatever that is still in activity or movement, your silent awareness just aware, finish. Because we have a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside. So whatever that goes on within the five aggregates of form and mind, you will know. Wherever there is contact, after contact, what arises? If you are able to be silent in the state of awareness, you will understand and you can observe all this movement and understand them. So whatever they arise, just be aware, finish. The moment you are aware, that's it. No need to think, no need to know, and let it be. Then the next arising, aware, finish. It can be tactile, it can be contact, it can be a thought, it can be a sensation, a feeling, a perception, or any movement, mental activity, the arising of aggregates of mind. So if you can maintain awareness to observe all this, you will understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. What is this mundane mind all about? How does it arise? Then how it has all these views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system? Because we have a memory. We accumulate a lot of things through memory. So memory is the accumulation of all our experiences, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. And before we are enlightened, before we have the Dhamma, most of the accumulated conditioning are all negative. They are either wrong thought or deluded thought. And whatever we attach and cling and accumulate as memory are mostly our negativity, our mind state, our phobia, our insecurity, our unhappiness, our whatever experiences, good and bad. And most of the time it's all our scars of memory, our unhappy moment or phobia that arise. So these are the things that actually condition our fear, our misery, our suffering. So meditation is to silence our mind, to observe all this, to see how we become what we are, how conditioning come about, how our views, opinion, and they call belief system come about. Then we also can also be mindful of all of the habitual tendency and reaction to sense experience come about. Our character, our personality, our habitual tendency, you can see them all. Well, these are the conditioning that has been going on for a long period of time. That's why it has become habitual. Then whatever you see, you can link it to the Dhamma, you will understand the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculties, the three evil roots, the four number two, then the three turnings of the four number two. Then we have the seven factors of enlightenment. And at the same time, all the other essential dhamma like noble eightfold path, the three types of right view, spiritual law, and the pancha niyamas. So all this, you can see them, observe them, and understand them. Even the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, non-self, then the law of dependent origination, dwelling. When we see them, we understand how we function as a human being, how our mind operates following this law. So meditation is to be sensitive, to be able to observe all this and develop the understanding and the awakening. Then when we are completely silent and just aware, we can insight into phenomena, we can awaken to truth. We can understand things very clearly because we are not lost in thought, we are not preoccupied with the thinking, the emotion, the reaction of mind. We are all the time just silent, aware, sensitive. Clarity of mind to enable us to see what is going on within the moment in life. So present moment awareness is only there when you are silent. If you cannot silence your mind, you cannot be aware. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent, completely silent and just aware and sensitive, or you are lost in thought, thinking, preoccupied with what the thought is telling you, the movement and all those things. That is heedlessness, heedless thinking. You are hardly aware, hardly mindful of what is going on within the moment. The mind is constantly lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, your views, your opinion, your reaction, everything, triggering off the response to memory. Okay, then just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we will continue from page 284 of this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning. Teaching from the adapter verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are now in the next adapter verse. Everything arises, abides, changes, and ceases. So this is the four-phase phenomenon of all things in this universe. Then they are constantly changing, endlessly passing by in the space of a thought without pause. This is the meaning of the conditioned world. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So when there is condition for things to arise, it will arise. That's why we call birth or the arising of a phenomena. Then when the sustaining condition is still there, it will continue to sustain itself, or what we call abiding, existing. Then because condition constantly change, that's why there is changes. Then when condition cease to be, cessation happens. So this typical four-phase phenomena exists in all things. Sometimes it's shortened to three. And sometimes you don't have the mindfulness and the awareness, you think it's only two, like the birth and death. It's just like our breathing, breathing in, breathing out. But actually the in-breath alone There is the abiding and the changing in between. So it's not only the breath arises, because this breathing is a mechanism within our physical body. Without the breath, we will suffocate and die. This breath is very important. The breath is like life. This is the source of oxygen that we take in. That's why when you are in a place where the environment is very polluted and there is not much ventilation, not much oxygen, then you will die. You cannot survive. Even those who breathe in carbon monoxide, they're the exhaust of the petrol car. It has a lot of carbon monoxide because of the incomplete combustion. So carbon monoxide can cause a problem to our physical body. The lack of oxygen can cause death. That's why some people, without them knowing, they die while leaving their car engine on and in an enclosed environment like the garage and all those things. And some use it to commit suicide. They feed back the exhaust, the carbon monoxide air into their internal circulation and all those things. So all this we can see. So the breath alone, the every breath, whether it's the in-breath or the out-breath, you have the four-phase phenomenon. When it reaches the end of the in-breath, it ceases, and the out-breath arises again. It will arise, abide, changes, and cease again. So these are the typical four-phase movement within every phenomenon. So I'll read the whole thing, the whole sentence again, then maybe the meaning now will stand out and become clearer. Everything or every phenomenon, they arises, abide, changes, and ceases. Constantly changing, endlessly passing by in the space of a thought without pause. That is also stated in the Nirvana Sutras. All phenomena are impermanent. This is the law of arising and ceasing. When arising and ceasing is extinguished, Nirvana brings great joy. So this arising and ceasing is something very common or typical of a conditioned world. That's why in the Maya teaching, they have this yan qi yan mie or bu sheng bu mie. So within the conditioned world, you have the arising and the ceasing. Sheng mie, yan qi yan mie, because yin yang yan fa. Then when conditions is to be, it extinguished. Bu sheng bu mie means no arising, no ceasing. That is the unconditioned. That is what Nibbana is, where everything ceases to be. You will realize the unconditioned, when mind ceases to be, when the pure awareness also ceases to be, you will realize Nibbana. Yeah. Then, according to the sutta, Nirvana brings great joy, which is very true. When you go through that cessation, when you realize that state which is so tranquil and still, actually you cannot describe it because it's unconditioned. There is no thought, no aggregate of mind, no movement, nothing. Everything ceases. So under that state, it is definitely something which is completely beyond the conditional. Just the conditional exist based on condition. So when the mundane arise, existence or life arise, we call it a psychological time. You create psychological time. That's why you live in time, you go through time, you go through existence. Then when there is this movement of the mundane mind from that nature, when it arises to create thought or the thinking process, what happens? When you create thought, thought is the instrument that conditions your emotion, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant emotion, your fear, your insecurity and all those things. So when there is this condition arising activity, how can there be peace? It's very difficult. That's why they say unless you can realize that cessation, it can bring about great joy. And in another part of the sutta, the Buddha also mentioned Nibbana Pachyau. Nibbana is the highest peace. Nibbana Paramang Sukhang, the highest peace. Or some people call it bliss. It's not a bliss because when you go through cessation, it's not an experience. Paramang Sukhang, the highest peace you can ever realize. That is unconditioned. So nothing within the conditioned world, even your yearning experience, tranquility and stillness of mind, you cannot compare with that type of peace. So this is very important. Nirvana brings great joy. When the Buddha turns the Dhamma below the Four Noble Truths for anatta, I don't know how to pronounce this word, A-J-N-A-T-A, Ajnata, Kondanya, basically is Venerable Kondanya, and the others. He also thought that all phenomena and fundamental are fundamentally empty and still. So this is referring to the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon that the Buddha delivered immediately after his enlightenment when he met up with the five ascetics that was together with him during the early days of his cultivation. So he taught them the basic essential Dhamma. He said all phenomena are fundamentally empty and still, constantly changing as thought after thought arises and ceases. This is the profound awakening. This is the understanding behind. That's why he wants to share this with the five ascetics. Then it's also mentioned in this sutta that during the middle period of his teaching, here and everywhere, the Buddha expounded to the bhikshu or the bhikkhus and bodhisattvas everywhere, the dwelling or paticchasamuppanna. We go to the notes. So under the footnote of Venerable Master Zi, a brief summary of the sutra of that meaning is mentioned. Good man, after I arose from the kingdom of trees, I went to the deer park in Varanasi and turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths for those five ascetics. Then after that, Kondanya and the others. Oh, I think initially it's only Kondanya became enlightened, a sotapant. Then finally, when the Buddha continued with the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all the other four together with Kondanya, they became arahant. Okay, then I read on. I also thought that all things have always been fundamentally empty and still, yet they change constantly as thought after thought arises and ceases. So if you are mindful, you can see this very clearly. And initially, when your mind is not trained, the mundane mind thinks a lot. Thought proliferation is very strong. It's like you are ceaselessly or endlessly lost in thought. You think a lot. You cannot stop your thought. Well, this is due to your lack of five spiritual faculties. And when you lack the five spiritual faculties and wisdom, avijja paccaya sankhara keep on moving, keep on stirring your mind. And they arise because of the five mental hindrance. When you lack the opposite five spiritual faculty, mental hindrance create mind state that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. So what are these five mental hindrances that hinders your mind? They are your reaction to sense experience, the two positive and negative emotions. The Buddha called it sensual desire and evil. And sloth and torpor is sleepiness, the dejic mind. And restlessness of mind, your mind become restless. You lack sadha, you lack sati and samadhi and wisdom. So the lack of spiritual faculty make you think a lot. Your mind become restless, full of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. They are all over. Then when you don't understand, you have doubt. So this five mental hindrance create a lot of heedless thinking, negative thinking, and it also create evil roots, make you evil, roots of all evil. So when you are mindful anyway, you can see all this. So the Buddha saw this, that's why he told the monk, the five ascetic, he said, fundamentally, all things are empty and still because that is their true state, their true nature. Yet, in between, you can see a lot of constant changes, the impermanent characteristics. Because the heedless, they think a lot, thought after thought arises and ceases. And you cannot do anything about it. So that is delusion. Then during the middle period of my teaching here and everywhere, I expounded to the bhikkhus and the bodhisattva, the dwelling of paticca-samuppada, or the law of dependent origination, and the six parameters, or six perfections. I also thought that all things have always been fundamentally empty and still, yet they change constantly as thought after thought arises and ceases. So this is repeated. Now I am expanding the great vehicle sutta of infinite meaning, means the Mahayana, the greater vehicle. Maha is great. Yana is a vehicle. And I also teach that all things have always been fundamentally empty and still. That's why even at the Mahayana stage, it's still the same teaching. And you must be able to have the mindfulness, stability of mindfulness to see all this. Even though fundamentally their nature is empty and still, yet they change constantly as thought after thought arises and ceases. That's why you must be mindful and observant. Okay, we go back to the notes. Now I read on the commentaries. In our daily living, both in the macrocosm of the universe and in the microcosm of our bodies, changes are happening every moment. The old is endlessly replaced with the new. For example, as the season changes, the difference in our surrounding can also be clearly observed. During the summer, when we woke up in the morning, the clear sky displays various shades of reds. blue and orange. But when autumn comes and the equinox passes, the morning sky gradually loses its color and becomes hazy. When we see this change, we know that winter is coming. In the natural world, the cycle of spring, summer, autumn, and winter follows the law of nature. In the human body, we go through infancy, childhood, adolescence, middle age, and then old age. The cycle of our metabolism are measured in even shorter period of time. In fact, we are changing every day, with cells dividing and dying. Our body parts are being replaced, cell by cell, in a continuous cycle. In the blink of an eye, a baby grows into an adorable toddler, and a few short years later, has become an adolescent. With advances in modern medicine, we can use an endoscope to clearly observe how fast our blood flow inside our body. It looks like the radar images of floating clouds and are seen in weather reports. Just as there is energy causing air circulation in the macrocosm of the external world, we have different kind of energy circulating inside the microcosm of our physical body. The circulation of energy within the body is a dynamic process. It is a state of constant change. Although we cannot see the blood flowing inside our body with our naked eye, if the blood stops flowing, our blood flow stops, we cannot survive, we cannot live. Thus, an obstruction of even the smallest blood vessel can be dangerous. If we bang into something, we get a bruise. This is because some of the many blood capillaries under our skin has been ruptured. Of course, if it is only a minor injury, the body will heal itself. The same thing can also be seen everywhere in nature. After a small natural disaster, for example, when the tree branches are broken, the tree will sprout new twigs. This shows nature's vitality and natural ability to repair itself. Clearly, the circulation of energy is a truly subtle and wondrous process, maintaining a balance by the process of constant change. This harmonious arising and ceasing is part of the law of nature. But when there is a lack of balance in this arising and ceasing, the result is disastrous. They include everything from illness of body to physical devastation of the world. Everything arises thereby changes and ceases, constantly changing. This process of change is never ending. This is called a universal characteristic. Thus, sentient beings experience birth, aging, illness, and death, while the world experiences spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Whether discussing our bodies or the weather, everything is endlessly passing by in the space of a thought. That's why I like to use this word, everything is in a state of flux, F-L-U-X. If you are mindful, aware, you can feel them. Sometimes when we look outside in the morning, it is dark. But when we look again, just a moment later, we can clearly see the grass and trees. Without our being aware of it, in the blink of an eye, the sky has changed. So it depends on how mindful we are, how sensitive we are. If we are really mindful, aware, and sensitive, we can see all these characteristics within our own physical body. And our physical body is like a miniature of the universe. So if you are mindful and aware, you're silent, you can feel there is vibration everywhere within your body, your heartbeat, your pulse of life, the flow of breath, the air, including the blood and everything within our body, even the food we eat, we chew, that passes through our internal organ, the stomach, everything, sometimes even the intestine. You can hear a lot of things, the releasing of the byproduct, the gas, everything. Then if you are mindful aware, you can also see the aggregates of mind very clearly. Every moment, thought arise and pass away. And upon contact of senses and the consciousness and the sense data, then what happened? The respective consciousness arise. Then in between, what happened? How you input your content of consciousness born of your views, opinion, conditioning, and memories. And thought is respond to memory. You can see them all. That feeling come and go. Perception come and go. Consciousness come and go. They are so fast. Every moment, every instant, they arise and they pass away. Then your brain, if you are not mindful, it thinks a lot, react to sense experience. That's why you have the habitual reaction of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. If every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind and react that way, imagine what will happen to you. It will turn into habitual tendency because you do it so often. It becomes habits. And what are these like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience? They are the first two mental hindrance. That's why throughout the day, you arise this mental hindrance that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. How can you meditate? That is what Krishnamurti meant by, when you go through life, you live a life of disorder. There is no order. Means through delusion and heedlessness, you simply react to sense experience and create all this heedless thinking, mental hindrance. You lack spiritual faculties. You lack wisdom. You lack understanding. To silence your mind, to develop the clarity of mind, to be aware, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. So all these are not there. That's why human being cannot meditate. Human being cannot develop the meditative mind. So all this, when you are mindful and aware, you can see them very clearly. Even our breath, the in and out breath, all of the activity that we do, our footstep when we walk, the birth and death of every footstep, the birth and death of every breath, they happen so fast all the time. That's why when you are sensitive, you can feel all the vibration within your physical form, your physical body. And even you can go into your brain and you completely silent and just feel. It becomes sensitive. It becomes like very super sensitive, hypersensitive. When you are without thought, there is nothing to distract you. That's why you are in that state of tranquility, stillness. Aware, just aware. That's why you are sensitive. You can know what is going on. But if you are lost in thought, you can't, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought preoccupied with your thought process and emotion and reaction of mind, or you are completely silent without thought. So whether you are without thought or you are lost in thought. Lost in thought means you think a lot, heedless. You are not with the moment. But when you are quiet, peaceful and still and aware, you can be with the moment. You can experience the pristine beauties and wonders of life within every moment, within every instant of life. That's why you can just sit in a relaxed posture, maintain awareness to live life, to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life, to understand, to develop the inner peace, the inner joy, the inner awareness. And through that, we develop wisdom and understanding. When we observe with a silent mind, we can awaken. It can insight into phenomena. It can see things as they are. It can give rise to understanding. And this is all meditation. You can be mindful in the midst of life. This is the reason why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Who are the heedless? The heedless are the deluded, think a lot, never peaceful. They don't have the spiritual faculty. Whereas the heedful, they are ever mindful, constantly meditative. Their spiritual faculty are very stable. That's why their mind is always tranquil and still with clarity, aware. So that is heedful living, leading to heedfulness. And the heedful never die. You are destined for enlightenment. So heedfulness is the most important. That's why you have to train your mind, your mundane mind, to be heedful, to be ever mindful. Then combine it, use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Then it becomes ever mindful, constantly meditative. And according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme enlightenment in the here and now, Nibbana. So those who hold on to the training of heedfulness firmly, you will definitely realize enlightenment in the here and now. The Dhammapada verse 23 is very important. It's about heedfulness. The constantly meditative and ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme born free Nibbana, the unconditioned. Okay, we go back to the commentaries. Yeah? We are at this paragraph. The passage of time and the transformation of the world also happen without our awareness. And these are for heedless people. If you are heedless, you are not aware. You are always lost in thought. But if you are heedful, you are constantly aware, ever mindful. So the passage of time and the transformation of world also happen without our awareness. We are equally unaware of the changes in our own body. And this is very true for heedless person, because you are not sensitive, you are not mindful, you have not trained your mind. You have not developed the stability of mindfulness within silent inner awareness to be sensitive, to observe, to feel, and to understand all this. We are all constantly breathing, but if we are not mindful of it, We are not here, they use the word reminded of it. We are not aware of taking those breaths. That's why you have to train. The Buddha recommend anapanasati, mindfulness on the in and out breath. And the reason why he advises training is because when you are mindful of your in and out breath, which is always in the moment, you cannot think. That's why you are just aware. When you are aware without thought, you are peaceful. This is a spiritual faculty. So when the spiritual faculty take over, awareness take over, you don't have to think. So mindfulness is the initial training until it becomes very stable. Then when mind enters the deep, this mind is constantly ever mindful. That's how meditation develops. The training of the mind to be aware and ability to stabilize it until mind enters the deep is the beginning of real meditation. Not until you can develop the stability of daily mindfulness born of the mind that is in sati, you don't stand a chance to be heedful or fully aware in the midst of life. So mindfulness leading to its stability and heedfulness is very important. So here the author is trying to share with us why most people, the non-cultivator, they are heedless. They lack awareness and mindfulness because they don't know what is going on in life, even within their own physical body, what is going on. They don't know. They are so insensitive. They are completely unaware. That's why when you are heedless, you think a lot. How can you be aware? Your mind can do only one thing at a time. Either you are silent, without thought, fully aware of the moment, or you are lost in thought. There is no other way. So this understanding is very important. Balance exists within the cycle of arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing. Not only do our thoughts arise, abide, changes, and cease in our mind, but in the physical world around us, we can also see formation, existence, decay, and disappearance. And our bodies cycle through birth, old age, sickness, and death. It's also very clear. So everything is always arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing without our noticing. Things in the world are constantly coming into being and disappearing. When you are not mindful, this is what happens. But when you are mindful, you can see them. That's why I always say truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? We have the characteristics of nature. This four-phase phenomenon, they always exist in nature. That's why you can see their birth and death, their arising, sustaining and passing away. So all these are very clear when you are mindful. There is a reason why without mindfulness, you cannot meditate, you cannot develop clear understanding of the true Buddha Dharma. So this is something you have to bear in mind. And read on. Without our noticing, things in the world are constantly coming into being and disappearing. This one we have covered. This all happens in such a short span of time that it is over before we are ever mindful of it. In the same way, the cycle of birth, aging, illness, and death continue without pause, without pausing, second by second, and minute by minute. That's why there is a saying, time wait for no man. In fact, time and tide is the same. They continuously move and evolve. They don't wait for you. Then the Nirvana Sutta also states, all phenomena are impermanent. And this one is very important. This one can give rise to a lot of wisdom. This is the law of arising and ceasing. So the law of arising and ceasing is a Nietzsche's law. This is what the Buddha meant by dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. When arising and ceasing are extinguished, Nirvana brings great joys. All things and all matter in the world are impermanent. This is the state that the Buddha awakened to. Yeah, that is basically what he awakened to. Impermanent is a process by which all things change, and phenomena refer to all things that undergo change. Thus, all phenomena are impermanent. This is the law of arising and ceasing. This world is inseparable from the law of arising and ceasing. That's why we call it the law of cause and effect. Yesterday has passed and today has begun. Our previous life is over and now this life has begun. Nobody can know for certain whether they will live to see tomorrow. Still, many people count on the future. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's talk about it tomorrow. We wait to do things next year or even in our next life, unaware that life is always subject to the law of arising and ceasing. If we can understand and realize that all phenomena are impermanent, this is the law of arising and ceasing, we will know how to cease every moment, arouse our spiritual aspiration, and eliminate ignorance and affliction. Then we can manifest our original pure Tathagata nature, and experience how, when arising and ceasing is extinguished, Nirvana brings great joy. So this is meditation. When we bring our mind back to their tranquil, still, and clear state, means our original state, which has always been their natural state, then we can eliminate affliction, fear, and the sense of gain and loss. If we are not concerned about gaining or losing anything, naturally there is nothing for us to fear. This is the highest state of happiness. So all these are Dhamma, very beautiful. Therefore, the Buddha thought that all phenomena are fundamentally empty and still, constantly changing, as thought after thought arises and ceases. When the Buddha first attained enlightenment, he turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths, teaching the truth of suffering, the cause of its arising, the cessation of suffering, and the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. This teaching that he gave to the five bhikkhu, Kananya and the others, expressed this same principle, the law of arising and ceasing. Everything follows the law of arising and ceasing, means dependent originating. Even the thought in our mind, where one thought passes, the next thought arises. If the first thought did not cease, the next thought could not arise. During the middle period of his teaching, here and everywhere, the Buddha expounded to the bhikkhu and bodhisattvas the dwelling of cyclical existence. Although we are here now, the principle of the Buddha lay out are in fact universal and applicable everywhere. For example, we are here at this moment, but we can still learn about the principle left behind by the Buddha many years ago. In the same way, at the time when the Buddha expounded his teaching, he also talked about the spiritual practice of past Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, regardless of the time or place. For all bhikkhus and bodhisattvas, he expounded the dwelling of cyclical existence. After the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha went on one step further and expounded the dwelling of cyclical existence to let everyone thoroughly understand the karmic law of cause and effect, so that we know where we came from and where we are going. So this one is according to Maya Sutta and the author. But according to Theravada, immediately after the first sermon, he actually expounded the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, not the dwelling. The interdependent origination of life. This is one, dependent origination. The cycle of birth and death, aging, illness, and death in this world, and the formation, existence, decay, and disappearance of the universe are all inseparable from the dwelling of cyclical existence. When we come into the world, we bring our direct retribution and circumstantial retribution. Some people are replete with wealth, children, blessing, prosperity, and longevity, living in comfort all their life before finally dying peacefully and at ease. Others are born in a poor family with much suffering and live a life filled with hardship, illness, and disability with no control over anything. All this happened due to what? Due to the karma each person has created in the past. That's why we have to take care of karma. The first link of the dwelling of cyclical existence is ignorant avijja. Ignorance gives rise to volitional formation or action, and thus we create karma. The karma created out of ignorance in past life will accumulate and follow us to the next life. We can bring nothing with us when we die except our karma. Our karmic consciousness leaves the old body and enters the new. It departs from the past and enters the present. Then it will leave our present existence to be born somewhere else. We were born because we left behind previous body to enter the body we have in our present life. And when one day we die, we will leave this place to go to another place. Whether we are leaving or coming, our karma follows us. Actually, this is how the author described it, but the actual happening is slightly different. It's not the karma follow you. All these are stored in the karmic nature. So like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So this karmic nature is the one that conditions us. We are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. So this karmic nature is the one that is responsible for the continuous birth and death. That's why every life when you come, you either need one ignorant thought from the last birth to condition the rebirth consciousness, then the form and mind can come into existence. So this karmic nature, based on your karmic conditioning, they will arise the new five aggregates of form and mind. So it's not like what the author mentioned. What the author mentioned is like this consciousness after you die, it leaves, then it takes another body. No, it's not like that. Because like the Buddha in his teaching, everything is dependent on originating condition arising. So the last thought moment will condition the next rebirth consciousness. Then that one go and take birth. But your karmic nature is somewhere else. Then when the karmic nature, based on its karmic conditioning and pattern, they will arise the appropriate form of mind. So the appropriate form of mind is actually within existence, within the karmic movement. Then it depends on how the karma fit in. That's why sometimes for those who know, to be born a human being is very rare, not easy. So a lot of people cannot understand. They say, why is it so difficult to be born a human being? Just get married and reproduce. This is what you saw in the surface. But when you look at birth and death, you look at the whole universe creation, the number of non-humans that exist in this universe are so much more than the so-called human race. Actually, human race are very rare species. Very, very rare. That's the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha gave an analogy. He said, 人生难得，佛法难闻. Means the human body is difficult to come by. The Buddha Dharma is even more difficult to come by. Then he gave an analogy of a turtle egg. He said, if take for example, there's a turtle egg with an opening slightly bigger than the turtle's head floating in the ocean. Then every 100 years, the turtle which is blind, the blind turtle surface from the ocean every 100 years once. So he said, the probability of gaining a human birth is like as long as the probability of the blind turtle able to protrude his head and fit exactly into the turtle eggshell with the opening. You will know how rare it is, how difficult it is. He is talking about numbers. So to be born a human is very rare indeed, and we must cherish it. We must actually understand that this is something very rare. And to be born during the Buddha Sasana, which is right now the golden window, to meet up with the Dhamma is even more rare. So do strive on with heedfulness. Do not delay. Do not waste your golden window. So this is something that you all have to bear in mind. For those who still haven't seriously reflect on it, contemplate and aspire, you better do so. Okay, so basically I just explained why it's slightly different what the author shared. If you don't have the clear understanding, you may be slightly confused because karma don't follow you. There is a karmic nature that does all this. So it's not like something you can bring along or carry along. Even your merits don't follow you, but they are recorded in nature's law, in our spiritual nature, our karmic nature. So when there is condition for its arising, it will arise. That's why it's yin and fa. Then as far as the consciousness that takes rebirth is concerned, is not the same consciousness. The consciousness that die, there is a last thought moment. That last thought moment will end, and condition rebirth consciousness, that one straight away take birth. But the realm of consciousness that is inside the physical form, that one is different. That one will come out. Because when a person dies, what happens is the consciousness that is trapped inside loses its craving force. When it loses its craving force, because there is no more life force, there is no more energy to hold this consciousness to the body, the physical body. That's why karma is such, when you take rebirth, the rebirth consciousness is trapped in the physical form, then the physical form has this what we call life force. So this life force come from our karmic nature. They will pump the heart. They will trigger off life. So this life force is the one that sustain life, pumps the oxygen to nourish and all. But initially as a fetus, of course, when they take conception in the mother's womb is different, because that time the mother through the umbilical cord gave the nourishment and all those things. Until you are ready to receive consciousness, then the rebirth consciousness come in. That's how you get conceived. Then the form and mind will grow. The cells will subdivide and all those things. Then until birth. So all this will happen. Then because of this life force and all those things, the consciousness actually get trapped inside. Then the karmic conditioning and the karmic nature, it will create the craving force, which is part of your karma. So this craving force will bind you to the form and mind. That's why you will be trapped inside there, experiencing all the coming things, good or bad. Then until when death comes, where the consciousness has to separate because the craving force ceases. I know about this because when I was young, I actually died. Then I saw during that process how my craving force ceased. Then how my consciousness was released out. Actually, I supposed to die. After that, I cannot go in back into my body. But somehow not meant to be. I managed to give it a push or a movement. Then up I went in. Then I realized I take control of my body. Then after that, I know what consciousness is, what craving force is. So this part I want to clarify is because very few people understand this. Okay, we go to the notes. I have to end already. Okay, I'll read on. Ignorance arises from the single thought. And once this thought stirs, greed, hatred and delusion and many other subtle afflictions arise. This is how avijja or ignorance give rise to volitional formation, means karmic formation, resulting in all kinds of action that creates karma. All the karma that we create in this life, good or bad, will follow us into our next life or future life. So volitional formation gives rise to consciousness. Consciousness is created by the karmic force. In our mind, we may think, why are things not going my way? Why are others always hindering me? Our consciousness continuously gives rise to unhappy thoughts, like I said, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, the reaction of mind, stirring of mind. Then consciousness gives rise to name and form. Name and form arise from the conversion of our consciousness with the material world. This is when our karmic affinity leads us to be conceived in certain location. So, which means the author also believes in the three periods of time of the dwelling is actually not like that. The actual dwelling is spontaneous within the moment. You read the book that I shared, where they did the transcript, you will know. The three period of time one is from some commentaries, because the Theravada tradition, they can't explain this. That's why they use the three period of time. So if over three period of time, this law of dependent origination only occurs once, it's of not much use. Why do we want to learn such a theory? But if it's every moment, every instant happening to us within life, and that is different. That is something we need. So here, when he said, this is when our karmic affinity leads us to be conceived in certain location, when he assumed that three period of time. Through the union of father's sperm and mother's egg, we will develop a human form inside the mother's womb. This is the stage of form and mind. See, the author thinks this is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind as a human being. But the actual Patichasamuppada, which is the five mental aggregate of form and mind, is different. It's happening every moment. That's why you have the meditative training and understanding, you will know that this is not the case. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara means dependent or ignorant condition, sankhara activity. And sankhara, of course, has its content of consciousness. That's why they use the word karmic volition. Then karmic volition create rebirth consciousness. Then rebirth consciousness create a new life. That's why they thought the first falling was like that. No, the actual happening in the mind is different. Every moment before you are enlightened, there is this avijja. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is what? Mental activity, mental volition, mental states, mental movement, mental activity. In fact, everything that your mind can do, the content of consciousness is sankhara. So, avijja is ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of truth. Ignorant of life, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So one thing to know, one thing to experience, what does human being do? They go and think. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, they think. In school also same. When you want to learn something, the teacher say, go back and think about it. They thought by thinking you can understand. So no. So avijja paccaya sankhara means dependent or ignorant, it arises. Sankhara activity means mental thinking. And what is mental thinking? Mental thinking is the mind or the consciousness make contact with the brain. And the brain is an organ, understand? So like the other senses, upon contact, what happened? Mental consciousness arise. That third link, they cannot understand, but they don't see it. If you see in the meditation, you know it is a mental consciousness, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up, you become conscious. And that is what Vijnanam is all about. So when the Vijnanam arises, the aggregate of mind, the content, hasn't gone in yet. That's why at the third link is still pure Vijnanam. But very fast from the third link, it go to the fourth link. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya Vijnanam, very fast. Then Vijnanam paccaya namarupa, or namarupa. This is the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental five aggregate. And this is what the thought is all about. The second aspect. Then dependent on this five aggregate of form and mind, definitely there must be sense basis for it to arise. Otherwise, it cannot arise. That's how the dwelling continue. Okay, so we go back to the sharing. Then maybe we end there first. Page 290. We are at page 290. So for the benefits of others who wants to understand the actual dwelling, you better go and read up that book. Patichasamuppada. There are a few printing. First one is the blue color. Second printing, I think, is a yellow color. But the title is Patichasamuppada. That book I taught very early, the year 2005, I remember. The transcript was done at that time. So read up that one, then you will develop clear understanding. I explained the both types. Traditional commentary type, which most tradition believe in, then I explain why two are different. You read through, you understand. Then when you meditate, you also understand very clearly. Okay, now we will open up for meditation reporting and also Q&A, or sharing of the Dhamma.
接着三个星期天我有讲过的那个我的一点点 confusion， 我就跟大家分享一下了哈。
可以可以，
就是从我们从我啦，我讲我啦，从我这个麦啦哈讲起，以前是满脑子都是很多的那种。很烦恼啊，
对，
然后很多那种很无聊的的想法，
对，
然后就接着认识了巴勒丢，接触了佛法，然后一直一直在的尝试的去改变自己，
对，
我所做，我所学佛就是改变自己嘛，
是哦，
就是看你要看。要不要去改变自己？这个改变是很彻彻底底的去改变啊，包括我们的习性啊，我们的就是很多很多的事情啊，对事情
对
看法，还有就是比如说我个人呢，因为。我可能已经在这个或者是这个烦恼里面打滚了好
几年，十多年，
对，所以就很 determined 的 ，you know，
要跑出来
啊，希望的能够走出来，
yeah.
然后再加上我们在发那个菩萨愿的时候，
那个很重要，
对，我在发菩萨愿的时候，然后过后我就问我自己，那你如果真的是要走这个菩萨道，那你最起码你首先你身边的人啊事啊，
对，
你要把那个最起码的那个
规矩
做好，然后你就那才能够慢慢。扩大这个范围去，然后去，然后
去
众生，然后利啊，自利，然后利他们这样。所以我就很 determined 的，从我自己的身边的人，就是我的家人呐、
对，
然后做起，因为你生活的每一天在生活在最主要是你跟你的家人一起的。
对，
然后，如果你跟你的家人啊，对，如果你跟你的家人，你都不能很融洽的去生活，而且每一天就是那个你我相很重啊，然后
对，
在又每天在那边哇，
然后
I say 啊，那个你要做到，就好像阿松讲的那个功夫，讲的那个功夫就是。不容易，
yeah.
因为那个 sixth sense law 啊，你一听到，
yeah.
看到哦，
yeah.
你就是 like automatic 这样。如果你没有经过那个 training 哦，
yeah.
你是不会
做不到的，
做不到，你做不到。是、
yeah.
，I mean， 对我自己而言，我觉得是不容易。所、yeah. 以、so, 经过每一次的哇的 的 happens 啊，就是说你发生了之后， yeah. 然后你自己去思考。然后去把它整件事情的去想它的前后，前因后果是怎样发生的。然后最主要第一件事就是你先看看你自己到底在那个心里面，
你有了那个 awareness within the city， you know how to silence your mind and develop daily mindfulness， that's why 你能了解，你看得到。但好像你经过了的那些，years of depression and negative thinking and heedless thinking. So in Mandarin they call 无明跟无聊的念头。You saw it very clearly because the egoic mind, the heedless, deluded mind is always creating all the 你我相, or what we call the ego, the mark of a self and others. That's why every day, worry about this, worry about that, then argue over this, argue over that, try to be right, 吵吵闹闹. So all this is something very tiring, bring about a lot of suffering, karmic conditioning. Then when you start to see, then when you learn the Dhamma, when you listen to the sharing, everything, then you start to develop the understanding to change. So what you did is very good. You decide to change from within through understanding yourself, through mindfulness, awareness, and the Dhamma. You contemplate, you reflect. Then you observe how you react and how you stir, how this habitual tendency, the old way of very negative thinking, heedless thinking, reaction of mind. So all this is self-observation. And through understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially karma, you already know this is not what you want. Because your life, you decide to be hateful. You decide to train yourself to come out of this deluded thinking, deluded conditioning. So Wu Ming is very powerful, ignorant, especially Sakkayaditi, the egoic mind, self-delusion. So to root out that one is not easy, like you know. You have to see it very clearly. Then you have to know, you reap what you sow. That's why you start by cultivating wholesomeness, virtue, goodness, by helping people. Then you can do something to help people. You actually reverse the wrong thought. We have to help selflessly. It's actually a virtuous action, virtuous thought. Then you develop the opposite of all those negative wrong thought that you used to have. Your hatred, your anger, your unhappiness, envy, jealousy, and misery, and all those things. When a person is in depression, a lot of this cocoon or wrong thought keep on repeating and blaming others. Why these people are there? Why is my own sibling also doing this type of thing to me? Why my own parent cannot understand me? And why my life is like that? And all things. And all these are thought process. So without wisdom, this thought becomes wrong thought. So thought divide and create all these evil roots that condition negativity leading to suffering and misery. So through observation and understanding, you start to see. You have to reverse all this. That's why you have to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. And you did it very well. Like you said, I remember in the early days you came to share with me how you came out of it. Starting by reverting to wholesome thing, good thing, helping others, have more love, have more understanding, contentment, appreciation, gratitude, then patience, sincerity, honesty, and all those things, then diligence, cultivate, then constantly listen to the Dhamma. I remember you chase after the video from Suyan, all this help you. Then you learn to meditate, you learn to silence your mind. All these things help a lot. Then you also dialogue with Song a lot, because you also used to consult him, and you all share many things. So because Song also Mandarin-based, you also Mandarin-based, so easier for you to develop the understanding. Otherwise, your English is not that good because you are mainly Chinese educated. So all this I saw are very positive development that brings about good result. That's how you can actually develop the understanding. Then the retreat help you. At the Cameron Highland retreat, there were many occasions the understanding just arise. Like when you look at the pond of water with the fish, then the fish came out, then jumped back. Then you suddenly inside realize, hey, I already out of the suffering world. Then why did I choose to jump back? It's just like the heedless. They choose to be heedless again because they don't see the danger of heedlessness. It's only until you see, you will never go back the old way. That's why for you, that depression helps you a lot. Like you always say, you are mindful, you are aware. Then that type of old thought or thinking, when it arrives, you straight away knew, ah, enough. You have tormented me for 16 years. Enough. Then it just subsides because you know these are wrong thoughts. Thought that condition, the evil roots, that condition your suffering, your misery. So wrong thought is very dangerous. Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your emotion, emotional negativity, and even the reaction of mind and all the same. So through this understanding, you develop wisdom to straighten your view, to correct yourself. That's why you say you have been diligently trying to do all this. 努力的改自己. Gai means to change for the better. To change your personality, your character, your understanding. To have more and more right thought, virtuous thought, wholesome thought. To have more kindness. Then whatever you do it with understanding. Then your character is very pleasant, very gentle in your approach. With understanding, you treat people differently now. You are able to actually feel for people's suffering and misery. Then you can attend to all this situation. That's how you're able to help your family members. You are able to like develop good communication, and also they call relationship with them. Then you know how to arise the right speech, right thought, and right action. Then live your life in accordance. Then there is this joy in you. Then the faith that drives you to develop more and more of this wholeness. Then you start to see the result. That one gives you a lot more faith. The result is the one that you saw has been very transforming. Your ulcer, your depression, everything, you just come out of it. Then medication also you no need to take. You become normal again. And a lot of people who know you in the past, especially your Filipino friend Teddy, I remember he told me, wow, Brother Teo, you are very good. What you did to Alicia, is it? He became so different. When she saw you going through suffering and misery, they were, his family were very close to you and friendly. So all this is very, very impressive. And he, being a Christian, he wanted to meet up with me, talk to me, and find out what I actually share with you to transform you. Where you also told him how you met me and how you become what you are after that. So to come out of 16 years of depression and heal your ulcer, gastric, everything is not easy. And to transform and change your life from a heedless mode to a heedful mode is not easy. And to develop all the meditative understanding and the Dhamma understanding is not easy. But you are really very new to Buddhism at that time, I remember. You don't know anything. You start from scratch. So that is what I saw. That's why my nature rejoiced. And during the early days, you actually have the coming affinity and you are very diligent. Your faith is very strong. So with this, I hope other Kayamita will be motivated too. You can understand how Alicia actually came out of all this and become so beautiful. Well, most Kayamita know her. Then through all this, especially I think Vincent and the wife, because they were the one that actually brought Alicia to see me. So all this is something very, very touching that other Kayamita can develop the faith. Mm. So with this, I pass back to you, Alicia. You can continue. Yeah. Yeah.
是的 ，Brother Joe， 其实很感恩，因为真的不容易。But 现在的生活是跟以前是不一样的。
Yeah.
现在是很踏踏实实的、真实的做一个人呐、
对。
以前是我每次形容就是好像一个行尸走肉啊，就是那个你不知道你自己在做什么。
对，
好像刚才那个书讲的 What is going on also you don't know the world yourself the environment， 因为在脑袋里面给他做那个无名的念头跟那个不意义的念头，So all this is what heedless thinking is all about, deluded thinking is all about. So when you understand already, like you say, your life has changed. Now you become somebody who is really responsible, a true human being in this sense. Like you say, 踏踏实实做人 means you are responsible. You do your duty. You have your understanding. You're no longer like before.So this is what Dhamma is, the beauty of Dhamma, the transforming capability. That's why Dhamma can transform the deluded to make them wise, to give them understanding and change their life for the better. So all these are very beautiful. 很好 continue here, Alicia, 你还可以继续。
Brother Dio, 第十在这之前一个多月前我的事情是特别多了，就哇那个 test 哦，就是来哇弄到你去哇，你是想尽办法的去把那个事情做好，还有就是就是要 make sure 你自己经常会问你自己你的 five spiritual faculty 你有真正的做到吗，
对，
然后那个就是最 basic 的嘛。
Yeah。
对，就是 back to basic， 我是每次都讲。
Yeah, back to basic， yeah， the essential。
对，那对那个 five spiritual faculty 是要做到，而是你阿松每天 remind 我，你要做到 balance 他说。
是咯。Until it become a part of you, very stable. That's why they call it power balance. Then also, I think.For your case, because 你真正的diligently, not only 改变自己，你已经了解到你能够 confront all this 问题 or problem, or like you say, you have been very busy, confronted with a lot of things, but you still go back to basic and make sure.You are focused, means you know what to do. But now it's different from last time. Last time, fear, worry, anxiety, the thought project, then you react, the emotion or stir. But now no more. 解决问题 Your focus is to solve problem. And how you do it? With the spiritual faculty. Following Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you know how to apply the four right effort.And that one is very beautiful. Then developing more and more understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path will lead you to the comprehension of the Four Noble Truths. So all this is very, very positive and very beautiful. How are you? Sadhu, eh?
Sadhu, Brother Dio. 还有就是我我经过这一连串的事情之后，然后就是在几天前哦，我忽然间就是在 in the midst of doing something 的时候，他真的就是他了解到以前你这一切的所谓的你我啊，什么 ego 什么什么，就是全部都是你的无名而做的。
对。
真的。
明啊，无意 ，no meaning one 哈。
他就是 suddenly 好像那个
悟到，悟到了，
到了，好像他，你我不懂得怎样解讲了，就是 radio 它就是一个 pop 的 understanding 哦，
它是这样的，
那个麦好像有一个。一个东西 disperse 掉一个
yeah,
一个乌云散去这样的吗？
对，
原来就是这样子。
Yeah, 就是这样。When you develop the understanding, it's suddenly you awaken to it. It's not from a thought. Well, after you have reflected, contemplated, observed, silenced your mind, and develop all this understanding, then all of a sudden when you reflect back, like what you mentioned just now,you realize all of the heedless thinking in the past got no meaning at all. And they are something that is really evil, heedless thinking, negative thought. So that understanding will liberate you and free you. Then you will have this understanding as yoniso manasikara. You will keep on surfacing whenever.You see this thought or encounter anything in life. That's why you know how to solve your problem now. Settle things. You can actually move on with your life very beautifully. So this is what Dhamma training is all about. 佛法的奥妙就是在这个 understanding 里面。你了解了。The essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning. Then you will understand the teaching very clearly. Through understanding the teaching, you understand life. Then you reflect and look back. Then you realize all of those thinking in the past is deluded. Born of ignorance, conditioning, wrong thought. No meaning at all. 无意义 That's why no need to go and think about it.So just like what you realized in the beginning when you share that 无名的念头 that like heedless, deluded thinking, or 没意义的念头 those thoughts that are of frivolous or useless, no benefit, nothing. Last time you have been held andconditioned by all these wrong thoughts, that's how you become depressed and miserable. Then when you understand already, you shift out of it, you reverse all this, and that's why you determine to change to a new life. 很努力的去改, that one is very beautiful. So all this is basically what cultivator need to do. Then when you silence your mind later on,When your daily mindfulness stabilized, your wisdom can become more, more like, I won't say stable alone, like more penetrative. The one to the turning one is a lot more penetrative. Then you will know how to link it to the whole teaching. So when your bodhisattva will take off,then you will develop more and more understanding. Then when your spiritual faculty become very stable, balanced, then a lot of these things will unfold. So very good, Sadhu, Alicia, 很好。
还有就是 Bradio, 我想讲的现在的 the way of living is totally different. 当我开车，如果我每次开车上去我的 farm 的时候，那个 journey， 那个 driving， 那个 journey 是 relax 的，
是咯，
很
不一样的哦，跟以前不一样，
真的是不一样。以前驾车连驾车都会很多
事，
you know， 现在是 like you know the mind 就是 be at the跟着那个车一直跑这样。
对。Let things be, echo and flow. Then there is joy, there is under, 好像佛经这样咯。买水果 mindfully, yeah, full of joy. Then 你驾车也不会紧张啦，不会什么。Then everything is so beautiful. There is harmony everywhere. There is joy. There is understanding. Everything is just nature's flow. 缘起缘灭，因缘法，无常苦我。So all this understanding will surface. Then the form and mind is not what you think. All this understanding will surface. Without thought, who are you? You are nothing. You are nobody.And you are that nature which is the most beautiful. So all this understanding 真的会 transform 一个人。Then after that, 你会了解到想也这样，不想也这样。那么何必苦苦去想呢？来也空，去也空。那么施主何必苦苦为空流泪？ So you will know how to do your duty, live your life to the fullest. This is what Dhamma is. That's why 我替你高兴，萨杜，Alicia， 很好啊，萨杜，萨杜，萨杜。
萨杜 ，Brother， 感恩 Brother Dio 一直以来对我的改变和教导，还有所有卡亚拉米达的分享和他们在带我们。大家一起走上这个佛陀的之道
啊！
我对一直努力的，大家一起学习的。
对，
我跟秦浩讲，我们就是迈向那个 on the way 就对了。
对对对对，
我们一直做就对了。
对，同修，嗯，
同修，对
，my friend，
还有
同修，
同修就是我们大家互相鼓励，然后讲，然后一起学习了。
对对，
没有遇到 Baradio， 我想我现在还是在吃药吧，还是
吃。Yeah， 其实这个佛法不容易的，不是每个人都能够 share 的，因为 it is a living Dhamma that can transform life。That can help change people's life. 真正的佛法真的 beautiful. Not the theoretical knowledge based Dhamma. 那些很难啊 or realize. A lot of Dhamma words, Dhamma knowledge, but it cannot transform living being. It cannot bring about changes and all those things. Because it's not related to real life. So 现在 more and more 可以没大了解了，so very beautiful。
对，就是我们如果一路学佛的，我们就要增长我们的慈悲心。
对。
如果没有那个慈悲心增长，你还是会因为好像那个什么很芝麻绿豆，我讲每天讲
啊，对对，
都为那个事情而起烦恼，还是你不知不觉的每天都给人家烦恼。
呀呀呀！
那个就是我觉得那个是好像不对啦，对我来讲。
呀呀呀！但是 finally 你会了解的，但是那个大乘玛雅呢，无量易经啊，哇 ，that sutta is very good， 烦恼相，so 所知障、烦恼障 ，same these two are obstruction to awakening。When you create 烦恼 means you won't worry about life. It won't solve your problem. It won't give you wisdom. That's why 烦恼障 No amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or lamentation can help you in your life solve your problem. So these are all wrong thoughts, evil roots. So you will know it's an obstruction to coming.The spiritual development. Then 所知障 when you know too much, too knowledge, also no use. Everything you know is actually thought-based initially. So thought-based is knowledge. Knowledge cannot solve your problem. So 所知障 is avoid accumulating knowledge. You must develop wisdom through realization,through insight, through contemplation, reflection, through associating with the Dhamma. Things that are fit for attention, pay attention, like the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, the Essential Dhamma. Don't pay attention to all the, like, 吵吵闹闹, 争 and all those things. So the sixth principle that Xuan Hua mentioned is very good. 不争不贪不自私不自利不妄语。And there's another one I forgot already. That one is all very good. Then when you understand the teaching, the Dhamma, this will all surface. 不争你不跟人家争啊, you become very peaceful. You don't try to be right. You don't argue with people anymore. So much less problem. So much joy. So much peace. 不贪, without greed. You are so beautiful. So 不争不贪不自私 means selfish. 不妄语不自利. So all these are very beautiful. When you don't lie, it means you don't have what they call behind the intention to deceive, to cheat, to take advantage, no more. That's self-benefiting, 自利. That one also selfish. So all these are beautiful teachings. Very good, Alicia. 现在不错了，能够 express it out 了，很好。又能够 motivate Kaya Metta, encourage all Kaya Metta to walk the path. Together, so mutually supporting each other, motivating each other, then share understanding. All these are very beautiful Dhamma sharing. Sadhu, 很好。
还有就是，
可以，
其实，我每次都在讲的是，我们。我们要不要改变其实是真的要不要出福利对自己哦，又是一个很
对
很
没关系
那个卡在那边，你要不要迈进一步的去改变，就是
That's like sincerity, that's sincerity and the faith. 你有了 sincerity and faith, 你就会 move into that direction, 因为 that faith will drive you.Then sincerity means 你真正的 very sincere. In Mandarin is called 诚实啊，真诚啊，真诚啊 sincerity. Very good, yeah. That is what you need. Whether you really want to change or not, your life you decide. Nobody can decide for you. So the individual must change.Like Krishnamurti say, for the world to change. So all this understanding is very important. If the individual don't change, means that individual karma will bring down the rest of the world collective consciousness. That's why for the world to change, the individual must change. And one by one, all this, they will accumulate and manifest into something beautiful and meaningful. How? Alicia, Sadhu.还有什么？
还有就是我个人，我每次有那种念头或者什么 arise 那些 sankara 的时候呢，我就会提醒我自己说，你的起心动念，你浪费时间在这种 sankara 无聊的，那不如你念一个佛号，就是我的佛号。是观世音菩萨，
对，
那他就会来，我的 awareness 就会来，哇，我走路也观世音菩萨，观世音菩萨，这样子，这样子，所以我就是想讲这样子，然后去，
很好，很好，So all these are very beautiful sharing, instead of arising like Alicia said, the heedless thinking and the frivolous or whatever negative thought. You might as well don't waste time on it. You try to develop the ability to cultivate affinity with Triple Gem by chanting Guan Yin's Fo Hao. Then whatever you do, you are chanting that great being's name of Fo Hao, Guan Xing Fusa.So that it will create affinity and develop more wholesomeness and more blessing. So this is how you can improve yourself. Then the other thing about all this thought is when they arise, you must contemplate. Like the Buddha says, Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, in the yellow form, we determine to understand all this. Means all of Sankhara is impermanent. If you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. That's why Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang, straight away it will subside. Or Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang, it leads to suffering. Then why you think? If you don't think, don't analyze, don't reason, there is no suffering. The moment you think and reason, you create duality. You create light and dislike, right and wrong. All this duality come out. That's why thought-based meditation is very dangerous. That's why don't analyze. Yeah? Don't try to like reason. Because all these are personal views and opinion of things. They are not wisdom, not true. They cannot solve real life problem. Maybe they can make you more intellectual and more like smart or clever. But it's not wisdom. That's why whatever happened, have the Dhamma to understand. Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang. Finish. Then if still cannot deal, Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang, it bring about suffering. Then sure you won't think. Because when you give meaning, attach, cling, and go and think the wrong thought, it will condition suffering. Then Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, everything is anatta, non-self, empty, not a permanent unchanging entity. Not what you think, he know you, he know me. So all this wisdom was surfaced is from the yellow card. You determine to have this understanding, life after life when you come, when you arise. That's why we chant Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, Vedanang Anicchang, Vedanang Anatta, Sanya Anicchang, Sanya Anatta, Sankhara Anicchang, Sankhara Anatta, then Vijnanang Anicchang, Vijnanang Anatta. Then we summarize Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anattito. So all this, if you have been contemplating, reflecting, and developing the vow, it will be part of your nature. And this Yoniso Manasikara or wisdom will arise. So when you have those type of thought, you actually can go beyond the skillful means of using the forehow of great being. Of course, that one also helps. That one also very good. But you can go beyond it through Dhamma. Through Dhamma means wisdom way to free, to subside and transform all this. We call it wrong thought or habitual thinking, which is of no meaning, no value, which is frivolous, and maybe at times is due to habitual tendency, which is very negative in its nature. So all these are more tangible understanding that we should develop. Now this one is a cultivator's approach, but your Mahayana approach, chanting the Bodhisattva's name or Kuan Yin's name or Amitabha is also very good. Now this is their farman to train your spiritual faculty. When you chant, it develops faith. When you have faith, you are composed, you are calm. Then you won't be restless. You don't have doubt, you don't fear. Then through your chanting, that faith will drive you to have the understanding. Then that understanding will actually reconfirm your faith and drive you to cultivate more diligently. That's how Sadha lead to Virya. Then when you chant mindfully until that forehow and your awareness become one, then sati become very stable. Then when you stabilize sati, samadhi arise. That's how you become different. So sati and samadhi allow you to develop wisdom, sitting as they are. Your daily life will transform. So that way also can lead to understanding. But the Dhamma way, which the Buddha taught, that Yoniso Manasikara is more powerful. Well, that one is the direct application of Dhamma. Whereas your spiritual faculty, as you develop, you need to observe the process and understand all those happening through mindfulness and samadhi. Then only you finally develop the understanding. Then when you develop the understanding, the moment you hear the Buddha's teaching or the sharing, you straight away like, wow, full of joy because it's so penetrative, so awakening. So that is the beauty of the essential Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma. Okay? Alicia? Sadhu? Huh?
Okay, Sadhu, Brother, you
Sadhu,
think
Sadhu. Yeah.
然后 brother to advice.
Yeah.
感恩大家 spend so much time 听我讲，谢谢。 阿弥陀佛。
Yeah, 阿弥陀佛, yeah. Okay, good. Let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Today's sharing is very good. Huh? You all should listen to it. Huh? It is a very beautiful sharing. The approach is different from others earlier on, but this one more people can develop the understanding and the cultivation, because this one for Alicia, she went through that karmic thing and she came out of it through that karmic thing too. That's why it's very good for people who have a lot of suffering, misery, and affliction, especially people with depression. You listen to this, it can help you. And the cultivation is actually very simple. Through observing, through understanding all this, you come out of it. Your wrong thought, condition, negativity or karma lead to negativity of karmic conditioning. That's why your life become affected, afflicted. Then your life, you decide how you want to live your life. You choose. Choose wisely. Choose to be happy, to be peaceful. Choose to follow the advice of the Buddha to change for the better. Choose to be heedful, no longer heedless. So all these are very beautiful sharing and teaching.